Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to rethink transportation. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Get ready to learn how to live chill with Generation Z.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. So teens have been hanging out since the dawn of time. With the dawn of the internet, they've been hanging out online. But 2017 is a new era, and the new hanging out takes place in group video chats. Let's try to make our way through this uncharted territory with a little help from the Wall Street Journal's Christopher Mims, who wrote about this. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Your piece really was a fascinating look at how tech influences social interaction between young people. Talk to me about live chilling. It does have a ring to it. How does Generation Z live chill? Can you walk us through this?
Yes. It isn't too foreign a concept, I think, to previous generations. I mean, teenagers have been calling each other on the phone after school or chatting on AOL Instant Messenger or texting each other outside of school forever. But the latest evolution is group video chat. You know, one of the ways that these apps are different is you pop it open and you're immediately hanging out, and all of your friends are immediately notified that you're on that app. So they can start pouring into the room that you're in. And, you know, it's just like hanging out. The best examples of this phenomenon is an app called House Party, and it's just like a house party. You start filling with your friends, and maybe there are, you know, other rooms that you can also have access to that are filling up with other people, and you can hop between them. It's like hanging out at a house party, except you have never left your couch.
Wow. I remember in my day, like you said, it's not much different, but in my day it was texting and instant messenger, and that was getting a bum rap. People were on us for not speaking. But with social interaction, like social media, you know, these days everything shifted from primarily text to primarily video, and it seems just like a natural progression of the times.
Yeah, it's totally a natural evolution. We forget that teens aren't carrying around smartphones at the same rate that adults are. Mm-hmm. So part of this had to be that smartphones had to proliferate to everyone. Also, you know, data plans and fast networks. But now that this technology is doable and it's not too hard for developers to set up a group chat application, you're seeing it everywhere. So House Party is one example. Excuse me. There's also Tribe. There is Airtime. There's a very popular one that works inside of iMessage called Fam.
Okay.
And then you have very popular existing chat apps implementing group video chat features. So Facebook Messenger can do it, and Kick, which is especially popular with teens in the U.S., has a pretty sophisticated implementation.
Yeah, in many ways, there are two sides to this. You read about how social media causes depression and isolation, yet with video, there are social aspects involved in these apps, as opposed to, say, zoning out to the TV or something. So there's that, yet we're still kind of on young people about their lack of social activity. Is this kind of tech influencing young people? Are teens spending more time indoors? Any research that backs this up?
Yeah, so the research is that teens are less active than ever. And this is, of course, not a good thing in terms of the health and childhood obesity and levels of depression and anxiety in teens. One researcher told me that teens are spending about 10 hours a day being sedentary now, which is like all of their awake hours outside of school. There are a lot of drivers of this. You know, you can't blame it just on technology. Obviously, you know, kids just not having physical access to one another, hanging out at the mall. They can't do that because it's a generation of helicopter parents. I mean, there was a family in Maryland that was famous for Child Protective Services trying to take away their kids because they let them walk home from school.
Wow.
You know, things that we took for granted as kids are not allowed to do anymore, so it's hard to blame them for, you know, adapting. The technology itself is probably also a driver. I mean, we've seen this with other social media. If you can get that fix of connecting with somebody, you might be less motivated to go and see them in person.
There is this case to be made that, like everything these days, it all goes back to Snapchat. But there is this case to be made that these apps, this live video chat phenomenon, has Snapchat to thank for their success. Do we at least give Snapchat an honorable mention here in making this concept so mainstream?
For sure. I mean, Snapchat was what convinced a generation of teenagers that they could primarily communicate to one another with a totally visual medium with, you know, direct address, and in a very casual and very immediate way. So Snapchat really broke that phenomenon wide open, and obviously Facebook has copied that in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's really...
Funny enough, Snapchat does not have a group video chat function in its app. It's the one major holdout, and I find that...
That's ironic.
...especially strange, and I would not be surprised if they implemented it.
I was going to say, maybe that's something we can look out for. We're speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Christopher Mims on Generation Z and technology's evolving impact on social interaction. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from one of our sponsors, Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to launch innovative transportation solutions, including its carpooling option, UberPool, and enable a world on the move. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Thanks for joining us. So, Chris, needless to say, because it's such a foreign concept to parents, a lot of this, you know, Snapchat was hard for a lot of people. You wonder how safe they feel about their kids using these types of tech and these types of apps. What are these companies doing to ensure that there is safety in mind here?
That's a really good question. I mean, one way that these companies are looking at it is simply in the design of the app. So, for instance, in House Party, when you're about to go into a room that, of course, is a virtual room that where there's somebody you don't know, it actually flashes a warning message that says stranger danger. And then it's your choice whether to go into that room. If you go into it, you know, you can sort of suss that person out. And if you don't choose to become their friend in the app, the only way you might ever run into them again is by accident. So it is... It's pretty good at creating that kind of closed network. And then because it's video, there's no, you know, possible anonymity. Mm-hmm. So this has been a problem with other apps like Kick, where it's like you're just a screen name. And there have been periodic, you know, reports about, you know, watch out for child predators on Kick and stuff. You really can't do that on video.
Chris, thank you as always. This is really fascinating.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks again to Chris Mims for joining us. For more on his story, check out WSJ.com/tech. This has been the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.